Persuading people to take the actions we want can be hard. Our teams and clients are bombarded with thousands of messages every single day. But there is a way for you to get above the noise. Stories. This is the Stories with Traction podcast, and I'm your host, Matt Zahn. Join my guests and me as we unpack the power of storytelling. We'll talk about topics like leadership, sales, and marketing all through the lens of strategic storytelling. Enjoy this episode. Recently, I launched an episode, The Story of Westcliff. Now, I was so intrigued by this story because my guest and I discussed how a university was taken from essentially nothing to 6,000 students. And we talked about leadership, innovation, and what it means to scale an organization. We're going to do a part two to that discussion. We're going to dive into leadership, but specifically, what makes someone a leader of leaders? Today, I'm joined again by Dr. Anthony Lee. He's the president and CEO of Westcliff University. Welcome back, Dr. Lee.
Thanks, Matt. Glad to be here.
I appreciate your time, and I really appreciate all the stories that we have talked about. I learned a lot already from your experiences, but I want to talk further about the leadership piece, because one of the things you mentioned on the last episode is when you're first starting a university, you're really focused on the accreditation process. And you made a comment regarding that accreditation process, that once that is in process, you really need to focus on building out your team. And there's a lot of leaders across the United States and world that they talk about that, building out a team, but they have a lot of difficulty with that and an understanding of what really truly drives a team and culture. So I wanted to talk about that. So when you were first pulling your team together, what were some of the things, maybe qualities in the person or maybe different values that you were looking for an individual that you'd be bringing on?
One of the first things, of course, is looking at their experience, but everybody out there, you're going to be able to find someone with the experience that you need. So I think the most important aspect is actually coming in with the right mindset and personality that will mesh well with yourself. Can you work with this person directly well and with the rest of the team that they're going to be working with, right? So in the beginning, it was certainly a challenge to find the right people. But I think we were fortunate to find people that were really bought into the mission and vision of Westcliff University on what we were trying to accomplish as an organization, and they believed in that. And then I think for me, I was trying to lay out, here are the steps that we need to take as an organization to really help us to become successful. And they were excited to be a part of that, of building that and setting the foundation for that, because they can see the potential future success that we could have.
So you mentioned a comment on our last episode where you said that an affordable quality U.S. education can fundamentally change someone's life. And it even goes further, right? This is generational change. So it could affect them and their kids. So you have a huge mission. So how do you know? So you have the experience. There's a lot of people in the world that have certain experiences and probably have adequate experience to be someone's team member. But how do you know someone's going to buy into the mission of an organization early on?
I mean, ultimately, it's all about asking questions and diving deep into the person, right? You really want to know what is inspiring that person, what drives that person, why are they motivated to take another job? But one of the questions I ask in an interview, I try to do a lot of comparisons, right? And I try to really say, hey, you applied at Westcliff. Where else did you apply? Do you mind if I ask you that? And as you look at those other positions comparing to Westcliff, what is unique about Westcliff versus the other ones? And what's unique about the other ones versus Westcliff? And you ask questions like that, you can get a lot of information out of them. And then you can kind of get a really sense of like their priorities and what is their purpose. And I think that's a part of how I try to ensure that I get the right people in place to help us be part of the culture and the part of the organization.
So the last time we spoke about culture, you made a comment to me that, you know, with all the growth that you've experienced in the last few years, you are still on a major growth pace. And you talked about speed, right? Fast growing environment. So from a culture perspective, do you look to see, like, how can you know, at least early on, someone would be a good fit for that fast paced growing environment based on an interview?
That's a good question. So I think if you're looking at hiring somebody that wants to fit a fast-paced culture, one of the key things to me is like, number one, have they done it before? And number two is, do they get excited about it? You can get that out of an interview. I think part of it could be their willingness to change and adapt. So they have to have an understanding that whatever we're trying to do today to get us to another level may change in the future and will probably have to change if we want to continue growing. Those people that can kind of go with the flow, roll with the punches, as they say, and just kind of be adaptable and flexible are the type of people that would be very successful, can help us to continue to be successful at Westcliff.
Let's talk about like the journey, because you've been doing this for quite some time. So let's talk about the journey, maybe the early steps and then where you are today. So within the early steps, can you think of any early hires that you made, kind of what happened, maybe some things that you learned from that?
Yeah, it's interesting. There's a couple of them that come to mind. One is, so I got my doctorate in 2013. And shortly after that, I hired one of my classmates, and she was an academic leader for us. And I remember she was teaching a leadership class in business as well. And I remember talking to her, and she was telling me that she talked about being in her class. I was like, oh, wow. Okay. I was a little embarrassed, to be honest with you, right? I'm like, oh, you talked about your class. What'd you guys talk about? And she was like, I talked about what kind of leader you are. And she said that the leader that you are, really, you're just trying to find the right people and put them in the right spots. It's almost like a puzzle. You want to put people in the right positions to succeed and where their strengths lie. And she said that was really good at that. And I thought, well, thank you. Right. You know, I think that made me think further about continuing that kind of mindset in the future, right? Making sure I find the right people that fit the right positions, because ultimately, if those are their strengths and then their passion about education, then they're going to be happy in the job for a long time. They're going to help us be successful for a long time.
That's a phenomenal compliment.
Yeah. I really appreciated that. She actually is still working with me to today. Still.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's incredible. That speaks to your leadership for sure.
Very fortunate to have good people around me.
No, that's incredible. All right. So early on, you know, she made that comment to you that it, almost like a puzzle, right? Making sure people are in the right spots within the organization. You made a comment to me, this is a few weeks ago, where you had said how if someone isn't really working well in a certain environment or a certain department, that you do everything you possibly can to develop that person into another skill set and in another department. How much of that do you think goes into a leader's day to day?
Yeah, I mean, I think you need to keep that in mind, right? So every organization evolves and continues to grow and changes and adapts. So your people, you know, you need to really evaluate, are they in the right positions for them to succeed and for the organization to succeed? I've had several different employees where they helped us, really, their skill set was helping us get to a certain level. And then at that point, it was like, this skill set that they have now, where can I reposition them to continue to help us? And they may have higher significant impact in another department or in another role. And I'm continuing to look at that. I'm really about strengths-based leadership, right? Putting people in positions to succeed based on their strengths.
So you mentioned a very important word. You mentioned impact. And I, you know, it's interesting because at the top of every survey where people are asked, what do they want working for an organization? They say they want to have an impact and they want fulfillment. So those are the two very powerful drivers. They want to know that they're making an impact and they want to feel fulfilled. They want to have the fulfillment. And, you know, a lot of people, you mentioned questions and interviews. You know, it's interesting because a lot of people, when they ask the person interviewing them a question, a lot of those questions are based on growth and is there room for improvement and growth in the organization? So can you speak to maybe people that you've had on board that you've grown and maybe they started out, I don't know, maybe as an intern or maybe somewhere in your organization and they grew and grew into other responsibilities within the university?
I'm very proud of that, to be honest. I have many employees that have been working here over 10 years with me, and the growth I've seen in them really makes me fulfilled personally, to be honest. One person that comes to mind is an intern, and he started out as an intern probably about 7-8 years ago. And from there, he just continued moving up, went from intern to advisor, to a manager, to a director, and he continued to progress every year to the point where he was actually working very closely with me on strategic initiatives for the university. I would say the growth I saw in him as a young person coming in, just finishing college, to where he became a really experienced professional was really exciting for me. A few years ago, actually, he moved on. he moved on to another job. And I think at first I was, you know, very disappointed, of course, right? Because he's so valuable to the organization. But when I took a step back from it, you know, I really took pride in the fact that his experience here at West Cliff prepared him for his next opportunity. And I think the next opportunity was a better fit for him long term anyway. So I was really happy for him, you know, and I think that's kind of the mindset I've been looking at in terms of developing our teams, is continuing to provide training, development, mentoring, personally and professionally. And as they grow, they're going to help the university grow, and they may end up somewhere else, which is going to be okay.
You know, let's talk about that a little bit more. I don't want to just glaze over this. I want to dive a little bit deeper, because it almost stings in a sense. Like, when you pour into someone for years and years and years, I know there's a lot of leaders listening to this that they may feel potentially betrayed when their people leave. So how do you justify that in your mind when you've given so much to someone, you've developed them so much, and then they end up leaving? What do you do? Is there anything you tell yourself to kind of limit that blow?
When you first hear the news, you're going to get frustrated. It's normal. It's natural, right? But when I take a step back from it, I really care about the people in the organization. And I want to take a step back and say, hey, is this opportunity the best for my employee personally or not? And there's times, for this one in particular, when he came to me, I was very disappointed. I had a very close relationship with him. But when he took a step back and described to me the opportunity, it made sense. It made sense for him. It was a good opportunity for him, and I was happy for him. And when you look at it in that way, then it helps soften the blow for sure. If anything, it makes me very happy to see that he got this opportunity because of the experience he got from West Cliff.
So one of the things that came to my mind that people listening, I don't want them to miss this, is this really does speak to one of the values that you have as an organization. I think a lot of times organizations will say they have certain values. They might put the values on a wall somewhere, but they don't live them out to the best of their ability, where you do. You know, one of the values you have is to be a great global citizen. And really, you're living out your value, because you're developing people, and then they may leave, they go out into the world, and now they are benefiting their communities across the globe even more. So it speaks to you not only saying that you want to be a great global citizen, but you actually living that out. And I think that really speaks to your leadership for sure.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I mean, it's certainly a very important value for myself personally, but also for the university overall. You know, our focus has always been on, you know, educating students from all over the world. We have students from all over the world. We have faculty from all over the world. And having that type of, I think, cultural competency is important. It just came to mind that when we were talking about when an employee comes to you and says, I have another job offer and I'm taking it, for example. There's been many of those situations over the years. And I had just mentioned to you one that was a very positive one, where I was really happy for them. I want to be fair to the other side of it, which is, of course, there have been times when employees have come to me, or I've heard them come to some of our leaders and say, we're going to go take a job with ABC company, right? And I know, and we know, that that might not be the best fit for them, but ultimately, sometimes it's a good life experience for them. And I've seen that. And it's great, because ultimately, any journey you take is going to be a learning experience. And I think what I'm proud of is sometimes there's been staff or employees have gone into other institutions and they've come back or expressed wanting to come back, or some of them actually have come back. And that really says a lot about, you know, who we are as a university.
So let's talk about that, because when someone comes back, is there a process to get them back within the organization and plug back into the culture? What are those discussions like when someone, even if it stings, like let's say you develop someone and you continue to develop them and they move on and they go into another organization, another role that you know based on all your experience is not the best fit for them. When they come back, is it almost like a told you so type situation? Are they fully embraced? Is there a different onboarding process? How does that play out?
Ultimately, if they're sincere about their intent to come back and really be happy and work for West Cliff University, we're going to accept them with open arms, and they'll go through a normal interview process and hiring process for that. But the way I view it, though, is, and I think many of the leaders here view it the same way, is West Cliff University is one institution. You know, we are always trying to grow as an institution, look at best practices from other institutions. And no matter what experience this specific employee may have at another institution that might not have been the best fit, they would have learned something that could help Westcliff University once they come back. That's the way we look at it, right?
That's a phenomenal perspective. I appreciate you sharing that. So we've talked about a lot of good stuff regarding, you know, you had a classmate that you brought on as a team member. We talked about the intern that you had that you grew, you developed. And often when we talk about culture, we talk about like positive attributes about culture. Okay. Like really like good stuff, positive. But based on how many students you have, there's a lot of different things that could happen, different situations that come up. So what happens if there's like a really devastating situation that happens? How do teams come together regarding that? Can you speak to any maybe team member in particular that when something happens, maybe a certain situation, that person stands up and does what they need to do?
Yeah, I mean, there's one that comes to mind. And he was our baseball coach. You know, I think it goes to one of our core values, which is compassion. We unfortunately had a tragic accident to one of our student athletes, and our baseball coach stepped up, right? And he galvanized the university, the whole entire community at the institution. He rallied all the classmates and the teammates of this student and went above and beyond to ensure that the student's family, parents, siblings knew that we were here to support them. You know, it was a sad event, but you know, I think our coach, he really stepped up to the occasion. And one of the things he did was as soon as that had happened, tragically, there was a funeral that was up north, and we made sure that we bussed up, I don't remember how many, 50 to 60 baseball players to travel up north to be there for the funeral. And then there's always, and after that, there's a lot of ongoing support that we've tried to give for their family. And really it's a testament to our baseball coach and also our athletic director as well, who were, you know, really showed a tremendous amount of leadership through compassion in particular.
How does that change a culture, change an environment?
I think it's huge. You do this because you care about people. At the same time, by doing this together, it's going to create a culture that other people will see that, hey, we care about our students. We care about, you know, their families, and that's what's most important, right? So I think that we don't do that for the sake of culture. We do that because we try to be good people, but I think the rippling effects are naturally going to be positive. And that also helps attract, you know, other staff, other coaches, other student athletes with the type of character that we would like to have at Westcliff too.
How would you define culture? Like when you think of the word culture, what are some of the pictures that come to your mind?
So when I look at culture, it's really about, you know, how do people work together? How do people interact with each other? Do they collaborate? Do they have compassion for each other? You know, that's one set of culture. Like, how do people work together? I think the other side of it is, we kind of alluded to it earlier, is this sort of fast-paced culture, right? There's so many different ways to describe culture. Could it be fast-paced? Could it be slow-paced? And for us, it's, you know, I think the pace of the culture is important. Adapting to change is important. And looking at all those different aspects, but ultimately, I think what ties culture together the most is the people. And if they care about each other, care about the students that we serve, then, you know, they're going to be a great fit for us.
So I love what Zig Ziglar said a few years ago. I remember reading, he mentioned he needs motivation like a shower every single day, right? Because we need to constantly be motivating ourselves. So when it comes to culture, and you mentioned about having team members that have been with you for quite a bit of time, how do you keep people motivated? How do you keep people inspired regarding the mission and vision? Is it just strictly based on communication? Do you strategize about the amount of meetings you have that you can inspire your team? How does that work out?
To be honest with you, I haven't fully figured it out, and I'm still always trying to do better. You know, as we've grown, I used to know every employee. At the institution, I used to interview every employee that got hired at the institution. And for me, as we're growing now, it's harder for me to really communicate and interact with everybody. So being more intentional about the direction that we're headed, what are some of the goals for the coming year? We've put together more town hall events. I have president office hours. I mean, that's usually a lot. It gets pretty full, but every month I have staff, faculty signing up to talk to me, which is great. It's a great way for me to get to know everybody and see what's going on from their perspective. But yeah, I mean, I think a lot of that is just going to be, you have to be intentional about communicating your vision, your mission, your goals, so they can get excited. What are they working towards? What is the big strategic vision of the university that they're individual activity and job and task that they're doing every day is contributing to that. So that, I think that's a big part of it. Another point I want to make is that we're fortunate, right? We're growing. So with growth means there's a lot of new initiatives, new projects, a lot of things that we want to improve and change happening. And I think that's what makes it exciting for a lot of our staff. It's a balance, of course, right? Like you want to make sure like you're not growing too fast. You grow the right way with quality in mind, which we have. We have the outcomes to show that we have quality, continue to have high quality standards in all of our programs. But I do think that that allows a lot of our staff and faculty to get a little more excited and more motivated when they see, hey, we're continuing to grow, we're adding new programs, we're doing all these good things that are going to contribute to serving the student community around us.
How often do you think a leader should focus on the future versus the present?
I think it depends on the position, but for me, I'm always trying to think about the future. I think every leader needs to think about the future and really figure out how do we serve the same students, or how do we manage the same type of staff or advisors on our team in 3 months and 6 months and 12 months? Because it's going to get there sooner or later. And we always got to make sure we're preparing for a future situation.
So when you mentioned it depends on the position, are you working with certain team members that are exclusively focused on not only the future, but the messaging going forward and the communication that they should be there inspiring other team members? Do you focus on that?
Yeah, I mean, that's a big part of discussion for us, for sure. You know, as we speak to the leadership team, we're always trying to figure out what are the better ways for us to communicate the future of the organization, provide a roadmap for a lot of our staff members. And you know, we can do better. But we've seen it. It helps. Like, we're going through an IT implementation and laying out the roadmap, that's not a 2-month process. It can take a long time. So laying out the roadmap so people understand this is how long it's going to take, but it's coming, has helped us a lot. And we've learned from it. We didn't do a great job doing that previously, and now we're doing a better job, right? So we're always continuing to see how we can do better in different areas.
Well, thank you for sharing that. And I appreciate how much you are a leader of leaders. I've learned so much from you in the last few weeks, and I really appreciate our conversation today. There's three things that I'm going to take away from our conversation. The first is I really appreciate you mentioning the interview process. And one of the things that you're focused on is the comparison. You had mentioned you asked the question, where else did you apply? And then you compare, you know, what are the attributes that compare to Westcliff University? I thought that was genius. The second piece is you truly live out your core values. You know, I want everyone listening to not focus on the words of values, but focus on the company or organizational core stories that exemplify the values you say you have. And Dr. Lee, you do that exceptionally well. You not only say the value that you have, but you live it out and you prove that time and time again. I really appreciate that. It speaks to your leadership. And then the third and final piece is I asked you about the communication, if there was a specific strategy. And you immediately said, we're still figuring that out. And I love that. I think that that really speaks to your leadership, that you don't have it all figured out, that it is continuing to grow. But you mentioned intentionality is key, having those president office hours and what that means. Intentionality is so important. So those are my three takeaways. I know people listening got other takeaways. Those were my three. But if people want to learn more about you or the university in general, where's the best place they can go to get that information?
The university website is westcliff.edu. They can also contact me on LinkedIn as well.
Perfect. I'll include that in the show notes. People can just go and click from there. But thanks again. I really appreciate our conversation today.
Thanks, Matt. I wanted to say I appreciate the praise that you gave me today, but honestly, none of that could happen without the great team around me. So I'm just fortunate to have a very dedicated and committed team around me for us to continue to succeed. But thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Stories with Traction podcast. Please leave a review, since positive reviews will make it easier for others to find this conversation. Next episode will launch on Friday at 8 a.m. Eastern. Until then, remember, if you want to persuade with power and inspire those around you to action, you must share more stories.